Hey, what's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday, or Taco Tuesday, or Terrific Tuesday, or Terrible Tuesday? I don't know, depending on how you guys are shaking out over there, in your homes, in your cars, on the way to work. Hopefully you didn't spill that fucking coffee on yourself. However you want it to go. Well, let's dive in. Oh, housekeeping. Thank you. First off, thank you all for jumping on, listening to what I got to say. I know that there's a subscriber base out there. Appreciate you. Thank you for continuing to chime in and give it a listen. We're gonna talk about some student debt getting forgiven again by the Biden administration. We're going to dive into some more of the fires and the response and all that good stuff. A little Gavin Newsom, some California run there. And we're going to also do a little deal on a particular OnlyFans model that wants to break some records. And boy, did she break a record. Let's get into this. All right, big Joe Biden is at it again. The senile old man once again has canceled another 150,000 borrowers. It's a little bit over 5 million, he said in a White House release this go-around. Of course, the 150,000 new beneficiaries announced on Monday included more than 80,000 borrowers who were cheated or defrauded by their schools. Over 60,000 borrowers were the total, with total and permanent disabilities, and more than 6,000 public service workers, Biden said in the release. The administration has focused on revising and expanding federal student loan forgiveness programs that existed before he took office. That approach allowed the administration to expand its forgiveness options despite its failures to do new stuff because of the initial plan being struck down by the Supreme Court. Of course, this continues to bother me. I don't know. It just does. Because these loans end up going somewhere in the form of raising taxes or increasing the fees on existing students who are responsible and pay their bills. Of course, the Biden administration has forgiven $183 billion in student debt, including relief for public service workers and disabilities, as we've said before. And of course, the defrauded thing I don't understand. Most of this information is pulled from Business Insider, The Hill, USA Today, AP News, student aid, and ed.gov. For all of those out there that think I'm talking out of the side of my ass, I actually do look shit up. Of course, according to AP News, the legality of the student debt program has been a significant topic of debate, while the court rejected Biden's broader forgiveness plan, ruling it an unlawful exercise of presidential power. The administration has continued to cancel student debt through pre-existing programs. These programs, such as public service loan forgiveness and borrower defense to repayment, were expanded and leveraged to its fullest extent. So, of course, while broader plans were struck down, the actions taken through these existing programs were deemed legal. Some of these programs, in addition to the public service loan forgiveness and the borrower defense repayment, we have the total and permanent disability discharge and the income-driven repayment plan. Now, some of these, of course, I have to question the funny business in qualifications of these. Of course, not exactly sure how many of these are honest. Let's say that. Because in the public service loan forgiveness plan, it forgives the remaining balance of your direct loan after 120 qualifying monthly payments under a qualifying repayment plan while working full-time in a qualifying employer. That one seems legit. Of course, a defense to repayment is, of course, if you can prove that the school misled them, misled you, and engaged in other misconduct, you are eligible for forgiveness. And then the disability one is borrowers who are totally and permanently disabled can have their federal student loans discharged. And the plans that do income-driven repayment is based monthly payments on income and family size after 20 or 25 years of qualifying payments. Any remaining loan program in balance is forgiven. Of course, proving that you were misled always puzzles me because the contract's in front of you. You might be a teenager, but you have parents. You should be an intelligent person and read your shit and know what you're getting into. Most of these guys don't because they think that they're just going to get out with a $1 million job and pay that shit off within a year. And of course, as we all know, 8 out of 10 times that shit don't happen. So anyway, Biden is doing it. The Supreme Court struck down the direct option. He's been going through at least 4 or 5 loopholes to discharge this debt onto somebody because the money doesn't go away. The university still needs to be made whole. How do you think they do that? Well, they raise tuition rates on existing students, or they decide it's best to raise the price of their books, let's say. Either way, or they pass the expense on to the state, who then rips it back towards us normal folks through taxes. So that's essentially what happens in that wheelhouse. So the fires have been a pickle. They've been crazy. Gavin Newsom is at war with Donald Trump. And of course, Donald Trump, since 2018 and 19-ish, somewhere in there, he has been talking about the state's inability to get water where it needs to be. He cites environmental things such as the smelt being a significant driving force behind the point he's making. And of course, Gavin Newsom is doing what Gavin Newsom does. He is now on a media tour, if you will, to defend himself. He's invited the president-elect Donald Trump down to view the damage. Not exactly sure when that's going to happen. I know there's been some commitments there, but we're going to play quite a few clips here and get into the weeds on this a little bit.
The governor's team reached out to us earlier this afternoon on Friday and said that the governor wanted to answer some questions and that he would have a couple of announcements. You have concerns that he might withhold disaster assistance when he becomes president.
He's been pretty straightforward about that. He's tried to do it in the past. He's not just done it here in California. He's done it in states all across the country. I mean, he did it in Puerto Rico. He did it even in Utah. He did it in Connecticut, in other states. Georgia, he got upset and withheld emergency dollars in 2018, even before I was governor of California. He tried to withhold money down in Orange County until apparently a staff member, and this has been well reported, staff member said there were a lot of Trump supporters. Then he decided to change his mind. And so the rhetoric is very, very familiar. And it's increasingly acute, and obviously we all have reason to be concerned about it.
What's the disinformation you were referring to in the letter, and what is the correct information?
Well, I mean, look, what the president-elect was saying about state water project and the Delta smelt somehow being culpable of, you know, somehow leading to some of the challenges that we face down here was words. It's a salad. It's the form and substance of fog. It's made up. It's delusional. And it's a consistent mantra from Trump going back years and years and years. And it's reinforced over and over and over within the right wing. And so it's become gospel. And it's so profoundly ignorant. And yet he absolutely believes it. It's not an ignorance on his part. It's such, it's sort of an indelible misinformation that he sort of manifested a falsehood. And he decided to bring it into this crisis in a profoundly demeaning and damaging way. I say demeaning to the facts, demeaning to the people that were suffering and struggling.
Interesting. So he's ignorant to the facts. Why do you think, Gavin, he continues to talk about the Delta smelt? Why do you think, Gavin, that he continues to talk about the water from up in the northern hills and such? Why do you think he continues to bring up the smelt as one of the examples that you're saying he's woefully ignorant, misinformed? Basically, you're calling him dumb. Let's dive into some of the facts, because he says that we obviously are devoid of the facts. Okay, Gavin. This is all information pulled from the NCESC.com, the EnviroLiteracy.org, Newsweek, resources.california.gov, mywaterearth.com, clearwaterinnovation.org. Let's have some fun. Now, California dumps a significant amount of water into the ocean every year. According to reports, 95% of the water collected in the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta is flushed out to sea. This amounts to 6,600 acre feet. More than 2 billion gallons of water daily is dumped into the ocean. Interesting, as they say. So, this is the exact thing Trump is talking about. Why are we dumping 2 billion gallons of water a day into the ocean? Why are we doing this? Why? What is happening when this water can be contained in during its supposed drought periods and whatnot and utilized better than dumping it? Why are we doing that, Gavin Newsom? Why, must you say? Now, they do this for environmental flow. Regulations mandate certain water levels to protect the ecosystem of the Delta and its downstream rivers. It is also a quote-unquote flood control. So when they got those 14 inches of rain down south and up here where I live, north up in the Northern California area by the most of the Delta, where we received roughly 12 inches of rain over the course of the last winter, plus the snowpack and all that melt there. Why do we do that? Flood control is also a main factor during the heavy rains and snow melts. The excess water is also released to prevent flooding. Now, here's the big one of the other bigger reasons: operational issues. The pumping infrastructure has limitations, and sometimes it's not feasible to capture and store all the water. These are three of the main issues as to why 2 billion gallons of water gets thrown into the ocean every day. What is wrong with the pumps? Why can't the pumps handle this shit, Gavin? Why? Here's some reasons. According to Newsweek, the pumps are old. The infrastructure for these pumps are older than dog shit. Many of these pumps are old and in need of repair and or replacement, which leads to inefficiencies and breakdowns. But we never seem to have the fucking money to replace these pumps. I am really curious why that is. Maybe Gavin Newsom can answer that question. Here's the second reason: environmental regulations. There's that fucking environmental regulation word again. It is to protect endangered species and maintain ecological balance, and certain water flows must be maintained, which can limit the amount of water that can be pumped and or stored. Ah, there it is again. Operational constraints are also, the pumps have limit, have limitations on how much water they can handle at any given time, which is why we had the issue with no water in the old fire hydrant, which can be a problem during periods of high demand or heavy rainfall. Challenges in maintenance, keeping the pumps and related systems in good working order require regular maintenance, which is also a difficulty. This is also from Newsweek. Apparently, we don't have the maintenance crew for this shit. We don't have the supplies for this shit. Why don't we have the supplies for this shit, Gavin? I'm really interested in your answer to that. So, the pumps are old. We have environmental regulations. We have operational problems, maintenance challenges, and we also have issues with flood control, all leading to 2 billion gallons of water every single winter dumped into the ocean. Every time there's rain and snow, this is what we do here in California to keep environmentally flows, keep control of our flooding. And of course, the main ones that I'm touching on here, operational constraints, aging infrastructure, more environmental regulations to protect endangered species. And what species is our example? The Delta smelt, a small fish native to California's Sacramento San Joaquin Delta, has become a central figure in water management debates. This is from clearwaterinnovation.org and resources.california.gov. The pumps in the Delta can inadvertently suck the smelt into their system, which has led to significant declines in their population. And of course, to protect said smelt, the regulations often require reducing the amount of water that can be pumped from the Delta, especially during certain times of the year when the smelt is present. This has created, of course, tension between the environmentalists who want to protect the smelt and, of course, all the farmers in urban areas such as our fiery Southern California that need the water for agricultural and drinking and all other supplies. Yes, kids. That is all the issues that Donald Trump talks about that he is apparently ignorant to, that he apparently knows nothing about, and he is conflating things as all the weird shit that Gavin keeps saying. But of course, if Gavin had two brain cells to rub together, he would know, or maybe he does know, and he's trying to dance around the issue. He would know that Donald Trump is got his finger on the pulse of the issue, as they say. So, and that's Gavin in a nutshell being retarded. Now, this is Tuberville on Newsmax.
Why should other states be bailing out California for choosing the wrong people to run their state?
We shouldn't be. They got 40 million people in that state, and they voting these imbeciles in office. And they continue to do it. And it's just a very small part of them in that state that's doing it. If you go to California, you run into a lot of Republicans, a lot of good people, and I hate it for them. But they are just overwhelmed by these inner city woke policies with the people that vote for them. And I don't mind sending them some money. But unless they show that they're going to change their ways and get back to building dams and storing water, doing the maintenance with the brush and the trees and everything that everybody else does in the country, and they refuse to do it, they don't deserve anything, to be honest with you, unless they show us they're going to make some changes, Chris.
Why should other states?
Tommy Tuberville, I 100% agree. As a California resident, I agree with you. We should not be getting federal bailouts every time a disaster hits because we are incompetent, especially in fires and floods. Now, this is, of course, the amazing Joe Biden. in response. Now, I know this is a federal program and it's capped at $770, but apparently he wants to give every resident who's lost everything in the California wildfire $770 to get emergency supplies such as, you know, drinking water, medical band-aids and such.
And I want to be clear, we're not waiting until those fires are over to start helping the victims.
Well, that's a good joke.
Right now, as you all know, people impacted by these fires are going to receive one-time payment of $770, one-time payment, so they can quickly purchase things like water, baby formula, and prescriptions. So far, nearly 6,000 survivors have registered to do just that, and $5.1 million has gone out.
The only question I have for Big Joe Biden here is he has given out $770 under this FEMA program to about 6,000 families at this point in the area. My question, of course, is if the entire area is burned to the ground, like they've lost everything, we're talking about housing, we're talking about cars, we're talking about, you know, toys, clothing, you know, refrigerators. How many retail businesses have disappeared in that area? If that's if there's a significant amount of that, then how do they get the supplies? Do they have to travel completely outside the area? I mean, how safe is that? Are the roads blocked off? What are the actual challenges? And of course, he doesn't talk about all that. And we also know that he just recently announced billions of dollars in funding for Ukraine instead of taking care of problems at home. And this is what the contention usually is with the foreign aid deal, because there are, and I understand it though. I do. I understand that everybody is sitting in their home, looking at the TV, watching Joe get up there and say, we gave, you know, I don't know, $5 billion to Ukraine. And they're sitting here going, what? Why are you giving $5 billion to Ukraine? I got no food in this house. I got high gas prices. I got whatever, right? Like, whatever the issue is. Why are you giving money over there? Why don't you help me out? You're my president. I get that we have foreign interests, and I get that we have to protect our borders from foreign adversaries, and we have things like that, but you've already given billions of dollars hand over fist to these guys for a war with no off-ramp, with no finish. That's interesting. Why are you doing that, Joe? Don't you think that it should have gone to us in some way? I don't know. I'm really interested in your thought process there, Joe. So, you know, and I understand what it is that's going on. I do. I understand what, and I empathize, all the families that are sitting there looking at this and going, what in the hell? It's kind of like the same thing in the hurricanes when the whole area was destroyed, you know, North and South Carolina, all that. And in that very same fucking thing, same period, they sent millions of dollars overseas and FEMA said they didn't have any extra funding. And you're just kind of going, What? How does that work? Well, who wrote that line item? Who voted that bullshit in? Etc. You know, and I just, like I said, I get it, and it's about priorities. And this administration doesn't have it; they just don't have it. They'll give money to anybody but the people that actually need it, which is Americans. All right. So there's this OnlyFans model. Her name is Bonnie Blue. And she set a previous record, and she did a documentary where she basically had sex with 100-something dudes within a 8-hour period. Some Guinness record is set. And then she seemed very distraught by it and all that. But for some odd reason, she felt the need to up the ante. So she put out a whole thing, you know, 1,000 men in 12 hours. This is my goal. We're going to get after it. So she nailed it. 1,057 in 12 hours. And here is the description she gives on how she achieved such a thing.
In circle like that. The big 1,000 was completely done. So it started off, I'll give you a bit of an overview, gangbangs after gangbangs to start with. It was just like, the room was absolutely full. Then we did groups of five, like one after the other of fives. I wanted to give people more time, so then it went down to like one-on-ones, didn't it? So like one person would watch whilst I was with somebody, and then it would literally just be like a rotating circle like that.
Wow. So when they say they're an OnlyFans model, they're basically a porn page. I guess that's the best way to say it. They're not a model. They're a porn actress or actor, I guess. I'm not sure if there's any OnlyFans men out there. I don't know. I don't play around on the site, but that is the most disgusting thing ever. And if that's a record you want when you're, I mean, just think of all the disease, because if I remember correctly, when this story broke the first time around with the 100, there was some, there weren't life-threatening sexually transmitted diseases, but infections did occur. So what is the aftermath of 12 hours of 1,057 men? I am curious what the infection rate is on that. I mean, gangbang after gangbang after gangbang, and then you go and you do, you know, two or three at the, you know, threesomes and foursomes, just to, and I'm just really like, the time is like minutes, not really. It's like bang, get out, bang, get out, bang, get out. It's fucking ridiculous. But hey, you know what? You know what? I, as disgusting as that shit is, and as ridiculous as that is, and as degrading as that is, and the message she is sending to single women, young and as teenagers on up, it's sad. That there's my word of the day. Fucking sad. So, this is my favorite part right here. Robert Reich. To close up, we're going to talk about a little Robert Reich action here. Jeff Bezos of the Washington Post. This is one of his ex-posts. Jeff Bezos of the Washington Post editorial board has endorsed Pam Bondi as a qualified and serious pick for Attorney General. Nowhere in the endorsement did they mention that she is a former Amazon lobbyist. Billionaire control of our media is a threat to democracy. You know what I think is interesting about this recent uprising against Jeff Bezos and the Washington Post? What's interesting to me is also got a little bit of backlash from Luke Beasley on one of his shows too, where he was kind of ripping into Bezos for bending the knee to Donald Trump and all this type of stuff. Let me just get to it in this way. Every single time an administration comes in, everybody bends the knee. Everybody adapts. Everybody moves to where they need to move to be successful. Jeff Bezos is doing it. Zuckerberg is doing it. Elon Musk is doing it. And if you notice from the Democratic Party, all of them are pivoting. They're all doing it. They're all getting into position to play defense for the next 4 years. Even though they don't have a majority in the House, they don't have a majority in the Senate, they're still positioning themselves to be a nuisance, if you will, on the agenda, which is the same thing that happens when a Democrat becomes in the office. The Republicans will pivot and they will hunker down and play defense. This happens all the time. This is, and what's going on in the business world with all these millionaires and billionaires pivoting to get into position to make a couple of bucks under President Trump, that is also not abnormal. And I just love the message. We're like, well, the billionaires are getting ready to take over the world. No, they're positioning themselves to make a couple of bucks. And it's not going to be at the expense of the little guy, as everybody thinks. Because one thing that billionaires do is they innovate, they build, they construct, and they employ, and they pay. That's what they do. And that's something that a lot of these Democrats can't seem to wrap their brains around. And of course they pull out their statistics and say, well, in the long run, it doesn't help the economy because bubbles burst or bad decisions get made, greed, those types of things. And into that extent, I agree. It does. These guys do get over their heads. That's why you don't see Toys R Us anymore. Got over their heads, got over their skis, and they ended up falling apart. As an example of a company going under. This is not a new thing. I mean, the auto industry almost went under, but they ran to the government for a handout. But you know, here's something that I also find interesting about the Bezos issue. Nobody is attacking Jeff Bezos. No Democrat is doing what I'm about to bring up here. And I find it absolutely interesting. You see, Jeff Bezos has been anti-unionizing in his Amazon facilities forever. And he fights it tooth and nail. Now, I thought the Democrats were part of the working man, you know, Bernie Sanders, picketing line, you know, Joe Biden at the picket line. I thought these guys were all in the pocket of these unions, right? But they don't seem to attack Jeff Bezos. Hell, his own newspaper won't even do it, which is supposedly, I hear, the Washington Post is the best ever. But they don't even attack Jeff Bezos for doing this. It's just interesting to me. And who, you know, and I'm wondering what do you guys all think about this stuff? Let me know in the comments below what you guys think of all this stuff. And that is it, guys. Let me know below what you guys think. Write it down. Got any questions? I would love to answer. See you later. I want to break your soul in two.